Okay. Good afternoon. The June 26, 2025 public meeting of the California Air Resources Board will come to order. Board Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Dr. Balms?
Here.
Mr. De La Torre?
Here.
Mr. Eisenhut? Senator Flores? Mayor Gloria?
Here.
Mr. Guerra? Ms. Hopkins? Assemblymember Jackson? Mayor Locke Dawson?
Here.
Ms. Ortiz Legg?
Here.
Dr. Pacheco Werner? Mr. Rex Schaffen?
Here.
Dr. Shaheen?
Here.
Senator Stern? Ms. Tagvorian?
Here.
Chair Randolph?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
All right, thank you. All right, we will cover our housekeeping items before we get started. We are conducting today's meeting in person, as well as offering remote options for public participation, both by phone and in Zoom. Anyone who wishes to testify in person should fill out a request to speak card available in the foyer outside the boardroom. Please turn it into a board assistant prior to the commencement of the item. If you are participating remotely, you will raise your hand in Zoom or dial *9 if calling in by phone. The clerk will provide further details regarding how public participation will work in a moment. For safety reasons, please note the emergency exit to the rear of the room through the foyer. In the event of a fire alarm, we are required to evacuate this room immediately and go down the stairs to the lobby and out of the building. When the all clear signal is given, we will return to the auditorium and resume the hearing. A closed captioning feature is available for those of you joining us in the Zoom environment. In order to turn on subtitles, please look for a button labeled CC at the bottom of the Zoom window, as shown in the example on the screen now. I would like to take this opportunity to remind everyone to speak clearly and from a quiet location, whether you are joining us in Zoom or calling in by phone. Interpretation services will be provided today in Spanish for both in-person and Zoom attendees. If you are joining us using Zoom, there is a button labeled Interpretation on the Zoom screen. Click on that interpretation button and select Spanish to hear the meeting in Spanish. If you are joining us here in person and would like to listen to the meeting in Spanish, please speak to a board assistant and they will provide you with further instructions. I want to remind all of our commenters to speak slowly and pause intermittently to allow the interpreters the opportunity to accurately interpret your comments.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and board members. Los servicios de interpretación se proporcionarán en español hoy día en persona y también a través de Zoom. Si usted nos está acompañando en Zoom, le pedimos vaya en la parte inferior de la pantalla donde está el globo terráqueo, lo apriete y seleccione el canal de español. También lo puede encontrar a través de los tres puntos. Si usted nos acompaña en persona y desea escuchar la reunión en español, por favor hable con algunos de los asistentes de la Junta para que le proporcionen las instrucciones necesarias y proporcionarle un dispositivo. Queremos recordarle a todos los comentaristas que hablen de forma lenta y que pausen de vez en cuando para que puedan permitir a los intérpretes la oportunidad de interpretar acertadamente todos sus comentarios. Thank you. Gracias.
Thank you. I will now ask the board clerk to provide more details regarding public participation.
Thank you, Chair Randolph. Good evening, good afternoon, everyone. We will first call on in-person commenters who have turned in a request to speak card, and then call on commenters who are joining us remotely. If you are joining us remotely and wish to make a verbal comment on one of today's board items or during the open comment period at the end of today's meeting, you must be using Zoom webinar or calling in by phone. If you are watching the webcast but wish to comment remotely, please register for the Zoom webinar or call in. Information for both can be found on the public agenda for today's meeting. To make a verbal comment, we will be using the raise hand feature in Zoom. If you wish to speak on a board item, please virtually raise your hand as soon as the item has begun to let us know you wish to speak. If you are using a computer or tablet, there is a raise hand button, and if you are calling in on the phone, dial *9 to raise your hand. Even if you previously indicated which item you wish to speak when you registered, you must raise your hand again at the beginning of the item to be added to the queue. When the comment period begins, the order of commenters is determined by who raises their hand first. We will call each commenter by name and will activate each commenter's audio when it is their turn to speak. For those calling in, we will identify you by the last three digits of your phone number, and we will announce the next three or so commenters in the queue so you are ready to testify when we come to you. Please note, your testimony will not appear by video. For all commenters, please state your name for the record before you speak. This is especially important for those calling in by phone. Each commenter will have a time limit of 2 minutes, although this may change at the chair's discretion. During public testimony, you will see a timer on the screen. For anyone giving verbal comments today in Spanish, please indicate so at the beginning of your testimony and our interpreter will assist you during your comment. Please follow any instructions the interpreter provides. Please note your time will be doubled if you require Spanish interpretation. To submit written comments, please visit CARB's Send Us Your Comments page or look at the public agenda on our webpage for links to submit your comment. Written comments will be accepted on each item until the chair closes the record for that board item. If you experience technical difficulties, please call 805-772-2715 so an IT person can assist. Thank you, and I'll turn the microphone back to Chair Randolph.
All right, thank you. The only item on the consent calendar, as noted in the public agenda, is item number 25-4-1, the proposed repeal of the in-use locomotive regulation. If you would like to comment on staff's proposal as posted on CARB's website, please raise your hand in Zoom or dial *9 now. When we get to the public comment portion of this item, we will call on in-person commenters who have submitted a request to speak card, followed by those who have virtually raised their hand. Senior Attorney Reed Enion, would you please summarize the item?
Chair Randolph, today we are seeking approval to repeal the in-use locomotive regulation. The regulation was designed to reduce emissions from all locomotives operated in California to help meet California's public health, air quality, and climate goals. The board approved the in-use locomotive regulation in April 2023. June 2023, two railroad associations sued CARB in federal district court, seeking to prevent CARB from implementing or enforcing the regulation. Requested authorization for the regulation from the United States Environmental Protection Agency in November 2023. September 2024, on CARB's representation to the court that we would not enforce the regulation until US EPA had taken final action on the authorization request, the court stayed the litigation. Earlier this year, CARB withdrew its authorization request because it was clear US EPA would not act on it before the change in presidential administrations, and because the incoming administration had indicated that it was not going to approve the authorization request. Given these developments and the absence of authorization, CARB staff do not intend to enforce the regulation. We recommend the California Code of Regulations, Title 13, Sections 2478 through 2478.17 be repealed to avoid confusion or uncertainty for California locomotive operators. Proposed repeal makes it clear to operators that they will not be required to comply with the regulation. We remain committed to achieving emission reductions for the people of California and to protect public health, regardless of the success of any individual measure. Despite a repeal of this regulation, we will continue to work toward achieving all air quality and climate goals implemented in the state implementation plan, strategy, and scoping plan. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Board Clerk, have witnesses signed up to testify on this item?
Yes, we have currently three in person and at the moment five in Zoom. We will start with our in-person commenters. Graham Noyes. And apologies in advance if I mispronounce any names.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the board. My name is Graham Noyes. I'm here to present the comments of Sierra Northern Railway and Sierra Railroad Company. These companies are leaders in the development of hydrogen locomotives, and have in fact completed construction of the first hydrogen switcher locomotive that is being commissioned now in West Sacramento. The related company, Sierra Energy, is producing hydrogen from waste at Fort Hunter Liggett and is very interested in woody biomass as a feedstock for hydrogen production. We support the resolution for the reasons stated in the ISOR, and particularly the fact that it unlocks more funding opportunities for locomotives, and this is really critical. We submitted extensive comments to the proceeding to provide constructive input on, despite the adverse federal policy conditions that we have here, the industry can continue to advance. In particular, we'd recommend that a technology-neutral approach be taken as to battery electric locomotives and hydrogen electric locomotives so that both pathways are pursued, that the agency and other agencies work together to maximize the amount of funding that's available for the industry and achieve the successes that we've seen at scale, both in solar and zero electric vehicles because of CARB's leadership in those areas. We recommend the revisiting of the Carl Moyer program guidelines, which are premised on the passage of the in-use locomotive regulation, and encourage a focus that I'm sure that the board and the agency will support, which is focusing efforts in switchers in high population density areas and disadvantaged communities to maximize the benefits of these first locomotives that are now being deployed.
Unfortunately, that concludes your time.
I'll ask you to refer to the comments on the importance of a low carbon fuel standard pathway. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Smith.
Good afternoon, Chair Randolph and board members. My name is Chris Smith, and I'm here on behalf of the Associated General Contractors of California. AGC, we represent nearly 1,000 contractor and construction associated members across the state. Our members build some of the state's most critical infrastructure, such as roads, dams, bridges, airports, and railways. We're here to express our support for the repeal of the in-use locomotive regulation. I want to take a moment to acknowledge the extensive work CARB staff put into the in-use locomotive regulation. We understand that CARB has officially withdrawn its request for authorization from the US EPA and that this regulation will no longer be enforced. We recognize and sincerely appreciate the time, the effort, and the dedication your staff and team has invested in this issue. We appreciate staff's willingness to hear, read, and respond to our comments throughout this process, and we also understand that this is not the end of the line. The transition to cleaner locomotive technology is an ongoing process, and CARB's continued commitment to monitoring the progress in the zero-emission space remains critically important. Looking ahead, we are looking eager and hopeful to partner with CARB to raise awareness, provide technical support and industry insight, and assist in identifying new practical pathways for reducing emissions produced by locomotives operating throughout California. So on behalf of the Associated General Contractors of California, we look forward to working with you and partnering in the future on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill McGovern.
Thanks. Bill McGovern with the Coalition for Clean Air. This is a sad day for anybody who cares about the health of Californians. This is the very first time, to my knowledge, that CARB has ever repealed an entire rule wholesale. And this is a big one. There were more reductions of NOx in this rule than anything that you have in your plans. I filled out a neutral card because I'm not asking you to vote no. I know the impossible position that you're in. It's not possible to go forward with the rule without federal approval, but it's important to note that the railroad companies never cooperated with this effort. Instead, they sued and they went to the federal government to oppose. They did the same thing, by the way, when South Coast was going through their rulemaking on rail yards. And those companies actually could do a lot to reduce the pollution from their locomotives just by bringing their cleanest engines into California, the state that has the worst air pollution in the country. Instead, they continue to bring some of the oldest, dirtiest locomotives in the country into our state. You'll hear more detail from another member of our team, but I just want to say this leaves a huge hole in our plans to achieve healthy air in California. I know that you don't give up and we don't give up, so we need to continue to plug this hole and find ways to reduce emissions from locomotives. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now move on to our commenters in Zoom. We currently have five, starting with Brian Yannity. One moment. Brian, I have activated your mic. You may unmute and begin.
Good afternoon, members of the board. Thank you for this opportunity to provide public comment this afternoon. The Rail Passenger Association of California and Nevada, or RailPAC, is a 501c3 all-volunteer group of railroad professionals and advocates that has campaigned for improved mobility since 1978. RailPAC has long advocated for increased rail transportation as an environmental solution and for rail electrification. RailPAC supports the repeal of the in-use locomotive rule. This may seem counterintuitive coming from an organization that has long supported rail electrification, but we feel that approving CARB's proposed locomotive regulation is by default approving CARB's hydrogen rail strategy instead of proven rail electrification technology. CARB has long shown a bias towards hydrogen above proven rail electrification. Dating back at least a decade, there were some pretty terrible reports that CARB put out in 2016 that had a lot of falsehoods about electrification, saying it cost $50 million a mile, which is 10 times what it costs in the real world, most places, saying that, you know, the electric locomotives weren't powerful enough, and then recommended fuel cells. And moving forward, CARB really needs to look at the actual state of technology and work with providers around the world who can provide electric technology for all kinds of rail operations. And please stop saying hydrogen is zero emissions. It's not. Hydrogen itself is a potent greenhouse gas, even if you have the hydrogen coming from a green source, allegedly, it still leaks. It's very prone to leakage. All those leaks cause greenhouse gas emissions, and CARB needs to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Our next three speakers, Mariela Raucho, Jeffrey Beeman, and Palash Mukherjee, excuse me. Mariela, I've activated your mic. You may unmute and begin.
Hi, board members. I'm Mariela Raucho. The American Lung Association greatly appreciates the innovative work of CARB staff and board members to address rail pollution, and we're sorry to be here with you today. It is clear that the rail industry needs to be held accountable for their emissions and the negative health impacts caused by aging locomotives. According to our State of the Air report, California continues to have the unhealthiest air in the United States, with about 90% of Californians living in an area that receives a failing grade for ozone and particle pollution. Pollution can cause asthma, heart attack, stroke, early death. In addition, locomotives are a major source of diesel particle pollution, known to cause cancer and an elevated risk of wide ranges of health emergencies. Particularly, the rail industry to rail communities, to communities living near rail. The repeal of the in-use locomotive rule leaves a large gap in the state's SIP to meet ozone standards in the state. We need accountability from the locomotive sector to ensure they are doing their part to reduce emissions, including cancer-causing diesel particle pollution. Moving to Tier 4 and beyond zero-emission rail needs to be a national priority. We urge CARB to continue to explore all available options to reduce pollution in this sector. Doing so will help reduce cancer risk to community members, rail yard workers, and reduce other negative health impacts that could have gained benefits from this rule. We are committed to working with you, and thank you again for your commitment to healthy air for all. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to note that apparently the webcast is having some difficulty. So if you are having trouble with the webcast, go to the agenda, click on the Zoom link, and go in through the Zoom link, and that will be easier for you to hear the broadcast.
Thank you. Jeffrey Beeman, I have activated your mic. You may unmute and begin.
Hello, my name is Jeffrey Beeman. I'm a retired scientist from Lawrence Berkeley National Lab and a member of Scientist Rebellion. I'm here to voice my support for repealing the in-house locomotive rule. This is because I feel, like Brian, that this effort has been used to justify hydrogen-powered trains, which are an extremely bad idea. I've worked with hydrogen for 35 years and have made fuel cells myself. Hydrogen diffuses through metals, embrittling them, and leaks easily through polymers. It has a wide range of explosive concentrations in air, which is an unfriendly characteristic when used inside trains or in train tunnels. It is a bad actor in terms of greenhouse activity, since any leaked hydrogen acts to passivate free radicals in the upper atmosphere, which would otherwise be breaking down methane and other heat-trapping gases. Worst of all, it is super inefficient to produce hydrogen and use it as a transportation fuel. Between electrolysis, compression, transportation, and fuel cell use, it's only around 35% efficient in producing train motion in the best case. We throw 65% of our precious green electricity away as waste heat if we make hydrogen with it. If we decide that green electricity is too valuable to use for making hydrogen, we could use steam reformed hydrogen sold to us by fossil fuel companies. In this case, we pollute our atmosphere with as much or more CO2 than if we had just burned diesel in the first place. And keep in mind, the cost of electricity used to make hydrogen would need to be around 3 cents a kilowatt hour to compete with fossil fuel-based methane. The current administration will likely kill the California hydrogen hubs anyway, so where would we end up buying the hydrogen? Probably from fossil fuel companies. Do the right thing. Take the long view. Build out catenary electric trains over a longer time frame. The rest of the world is doing exactly that for very good reasons. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're still having trouble with the webcast, so the technicians are going to reset it. So we're going to just take a few minutes before we call on the last few commenters. Okay, I apologize for the interruption. We are continuing with public comment on agenda item 25-4-1. Clerk, will you please call the next commenter?
Thank you. And apologize for the delay. The next three commenters in Zoom, we have Palash, Thoral, and phone number ending in 528. Palash, I have activated your mic. You may unmute and begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Randolph and the members of the board. My name is Palash Mukherjee, and I'm here on behalf of the Coalition for Clean Air. We understand that for these regulations, CARB has limited legal options at present. However, I urge the board to recognize that this repeal is a serious step backwards for air quality, for climate progress, and for environmental justice. The repeal undermines critical emission reductions and will result in massive health and economic losses, reductions of over 7,300 tons of fine particulate pollution, 400,000 tons of smog-forming NOx, and over 21 million metric tons of greenhouse gases will be foregone. Along with this, an estimated $18 billion in net health savings will be lost. Locomotive emissions alone remain untouched, while all other mobile emission sources in the state continue to shrink. Frontline communities will pay the price. Over 70% of switchers and industrial locomotives in California are pre-Tier Zero, each polluting as much as 1,300 trucks. These mainly operate around rail yard and port communities and will impact them hard. For instance, with this repeal, the San Pedro port community residents will lose up to 95% of the anticipated reduction in local PM2.5 exposure from locomotives. I urge CARB to act on two immediate priorities. Expand incentive programs with a priority for Class 3 and industrial locomotive engine retirement or upgrades. And the second, integrate locomotive emission reduction targets into the updated scoping plan and the state implementation plan. We do need to hold locomotive operators accountable to an enforceable path to reducing locomotive pollution. Our clean air mandates and our frontline communities depend on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thoreau Golden. I have activated your mic. You may unmute and begin. Thoreau Golden. You may unmute and begin. Okay, we will go ahead and move on to phone number ending in 528. I have activated your mic. You may unmute and begin. Phone number ending in 528. You may unmute and begin. I believe that concludes our commenters in Zoom.
Okay, thank you. I will now close the record on this agenda item. Do I have a motion for resolution number 25-4?
So move.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, Board Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Dr. Balms?
Yes.
Mr. De La Torre? Mr. Eisenhunt?
Yes.
Senator Flores? Mayor Gloria?
Yes.
Mayor Locke Dawson?
Aye.
Ms. Ortiz Legg?
Yes.
Mr. Rexhoffen?
Yes.
Dr. Shaheen?
Aye.
Ms. Takvorian?
Yes.
Chair Randolph?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Thank you very much. And thanks so much to staff and our attorneys. Really appreciate it. Okay. The next item on the agenda is item number 25-4-2, public meeting to consider CARB staff recommendations for the appointment of members to the Community Air Protection Consultation Group. If you are here with us in the room and wish to comment on this item, please fill out a request to speak card as soon as possible and submit it to a board assistant. If you are joining us remotely and wish to comment on this item, please click the raise hand button or dial *9 now. We will first call on in-person commenters followed by any remote commenters when we get to the public comment portion of this item. The goal of the Community Air Protection Program is to improve air quality in communities most impacted by air pollution in California. Meeting this goal requires a strong foundation of meaningful engagement, including consultation with community and environmental justice representatives, air district partners, tribal governments, academia, business and industry, and other stakeholders in our work to address local sources of air pollution. The breadth of knowledge CARB gains from the advice and expertise of this advisory body is essential to the implementation of the Community Air Protection Program, and the goals the board committed to in Blueprint 2.0, CARB's statewide strategy to reduce emissions in the most burdened communities in California. The individuals proposed for membership in the consultation group are dedicated and passionate about CARB's mission to protect community health and reduce disparities in air pollution exposure. Before we begin today, I want to take a moment to extend the board's sincere thanks and appreciation to all those who previously served on the consultation group. Your perspective and bold vision, as articulated in the People's Blueprint, helped pave the way to support community air protection. Board Member Balms, you and previous Board Member Davina Hurt chaired the first consultation group, which was convened in January 2018 and served until March 2024. We thank you for your leadership and service. and for continuing to serve as the chair of the consultation group going forward. All right. Principal Deputy Executive Director Smith, would you please introduce the item?
Thank you, Chair Randolph. So when CARB first convened a group of 25 diverse stakeholders in 2018, it was a significant step in building a program to meet the ambitious goals that were laid out by AB 617. The purpose of the consultation group is to advise CARB on the development and the implementation of our statewide strategy to improve air quality in the most overburdened communities, known as Blueprint 2.0, which is legislatively required to be updated every 5 years. Today, we'll hear from staff about the robust efforts they've undergone to recruit a diverse pool of applicants to the consultation group, resulting in an expanded representation of stakeholders, including environmental justice organizations, more air districts, local and tribal government representatives, and representatives of industry, AB 617 community steering committees, and consistently nominated communities. An excellent slate of leaders, including some who have been involved in this program since its inception, and I'm excited to bring their nomination to this board today. I will now ask Eloy Flores from the Office of Community Air Protection to begin the staff presentation. Proceed.
Good afternoon. My name is Eloy Flores, and I'm a staff air pollution specialist in the Office of Community Air Protection. The reinvigoration of the consultation group. Slide two, please. Let's begin with a brief video highlighting the work of the Stockton Community Steering Committee and the San Joaquin Valley Air District to implement their community emission SERP. You will hear both about the challenges of California's most impacted communities. As well as the progress being made as a result of the community air protection.
We have two large freeways running on either side of Stockton. We have the Port of Stockton in the heart of Stockton. Even though you can't see it, those very, very, very tiny particles, they call them PM 2.5, and the diesel particulates are in the air. They're getting into lungs, they're getting deep into lungs, and there they sit.
In every five, we have two people in every classroom that is suffering from asthma. So it is a concern.
In this particular community, it's my home, it's my heart.
Our air quality is the way it is because people have been making decisions for us and not with us. And so it's really important for community members to be a part of those conversations and to make decisions for ourselves.
Stockton was prioritized by the Valley Air District and selected by the California Air Resources Board to be a part of AB 617 to receive these focused resources. The Community Steering Committee, or CSC, that was formed to address the concerns in AB 617 in Stockton is comprised of active residents, community-based organizations, partner agencies, partner businesses, all coming together to make sure that we're implementing their community emissions reduction program and community air monitoring plan in a way that feels community supported and in a way that they are participating in the clean air solutions.
I'm a resident. I'm a member of the steering committee, and we're all equal on the steering committee. The Air District is very instrumental in offering staff support, so we really appreciate that. But it's the committee that makes the decisions.
What I really appreciate about the community members in Stockton and the Community Steering Committee is how deeply everybody dived into implementation. It's really a model for just how much excitement there is and participation at the Community Steering Committee level to actually make sure we follow up on the commitments and follow through on the commitments we made in the SERP.
I've been a part of the weatherization and indoor air quality subcommittee. Our priority population are folks with asthma or other respiratory illnesses or conditions, elderly children, low income families, and then the general AB 617 community.
Through the Port Outreach Committee,
initially we developed the clean air plan with the members of the committee to help strategize and prioritize, you know, how we go after reducing emissions at the port. And that was a great program, 25 different measures. That led and fed into this great opportunity with EPA Clean Ports, where the port was actually able to go out and get a $110 million grant to help us to fund all of the programs that we identified in the Clean Air Plan.
One of the exciting things is the school buses. So school buses would park in school parking lots around the children and they'd idle.
By July 1st, we'll have 34 electric school buses. And with the AB 617 project, we are awaiting 10 more. I believe that it's important that we don't have our drivers or our students breathing diesel fumes.
We were invited to be a part of a big Earth Day event with the Stockton Unified School District, where we were able to pass out air purifiers and let residents really know, let parents and students know how to be a part of the clean air solution through AB 617.
We actually had a family come in and she didn't know what an air purifier was. She had three children. And then I asked her, I said, Nina, do you know anybody in your family that might have asthma? And she was like, all three of my kids. And I was like, okay, well, so then you want to apply. If you fall within this boundary, you would qualify and you get it for free.
So this is the idea of bringing different groups together so that we can, they can have the opportunity, I should say, to showcase their resources that is located in Stockton and located in the AB 617 area. I is always proud to be in a place who's willing to do the change and stand with the people who wants to do that kind of change.
I think that I want to see that we can go higher. CSC has set the platform. We have to make it everything plain and easier accessible. We've got to work something out that we can get the people taken care of right now.
I feel really proud. I've been trying to tell my friends and other people so that they can be a part of making change as well.
Our thanks go out to the Stockton Community Steering Committee and the Valley Air District for their participation in the video. Next slide, please. Today, I will share a brief history of the consultation group, an overview of our robust outreach and engagement effort to recruit a diverse group of interested applicants, an outline of our internal review and recommendation process. I will then present our slate of recommended applicants for the group. Signed into law in January of 2017, Assembly Bill 617 requires the California Air Resources Board to consult and engage with environmental justice organizations, air districts, affected industry, the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, Scientific Review Panel on Toxic Air Contaminants, and other interested stakeholders in the development of its statewide strategy. The statewide strategy, known as the Program Blueprint, is intended to reduce emissions of toxic air contaminants and criteria air pollutants in communities affected by high cumulative exposure burden. In January 2018, CARB first convened the 25-member consultation group. The consultation group was chaired first by board member John Balms and later co-chaired by board member Davina Hurt. The CARB AB 617 consultation group included those representatives required by law, as well as representatives from academia and a California tribal government. The CARB board approved the first blueprint in September 2018, which guided the program implementation through October 2023. In early 2021, a subset of consultation group members began work on the People's Blueprint. CARB staff supported this effort by providing facilitation and technical writing to support technical writing support via a consultant. The People's Blueprint highlights equity, environmental justice, benefits of the co-leadership model, and recommendations to strengthen transparency and accountability for the program. Throughout 2022, CARB staff engaged with the full consultation group about the People's Blueprint. This engagement significantly informed the revised program blueprint, better known as Blueprint 2.0, that was approved by the board in October 2023. Blueprint 2.0 is CARB's updated statewide strategy and implementation guidance for CARB and air districts to meet the program commitments and bring benefits to communities in and consistently nominated to the program. Slide five, please. In response to attrition, members and in alignment, in response to attrition of members and in alignment with the commitment in Blueprint 2.0 to reinvigorate the consultation group, CARB staff dissolved the consultation group in March 2024. CARB began this process by thanking all remaining members, many of whom had served since the consultation group's first convening in January of 2018. CARB staff have worked to implement a robust recruitment process to expand representation to include local government and consistently nominated communities as committed to in the blueprint. This application process was also open to previous members. In the summer of 2024, CARB staff developed a robust recruitment and outreach plan to ensure balanced representation across all stakeholder categories and geographic diversity. First, CARB staff released an online membership application on January 16, 2024, extending the application period twice and accepting applications for 130 days, 4 months and 1 week period. Throughout the open application period, OCAP staff provided outreach through email listservs containing over 14,000 email addresses, OCAP databases containing 250 emails of interested stakeholders, direct phone calls, reaching out to local government agencies, including the Bay Area Association of Governments, the Southern California Association of Governments, and the San Gabriel Valley Association of Governments, to ask them to consider applying. Staff also reached out to city government leaders. Staff provided information to potential applicants about the open application process at air district events, community steering meetings, environmental justice group networks, and meetings with business and industry representatives. Staff also worked with CARB's Public Information Office to use social media posts across various popular social media platforms. Concurrently, staff developed and posted a consultation group draft charter on the program website during the application period to provide transparency into the advisory body's role and guide applicants. Charter establishes term lengths of 4 years, which will provide continuity through the next iteration of the program blueprint. CARB received 50 applications before the application period closed January 24th of this year. Applications were received from representatives from local government, community steering committees, and consistently nominated community representatives, including the six air districts supporting community steering committees. The applications were geographically diverse, representing over 20 different counties from across the state, and met all identified categories for the consultation group. CARB staff conducted a multi-level comprehensive review of each application received. Eligible and complete applications were first reviewed by a four-member staff team with experience in working with communities and the previous consultation group. Staff used an evaluation scoring sheet to assess, tabulate scores from responses to questions in applicant applications. Staff evaluated each application based on responses, relevant experience, and knowledge and effort in the program. Application questions included, why are you interested in community air protection? Followed by, how do you see yourself contributing to the purpose of the consultation group, which is to advise CARB on the implementation of Blueprint 2.0. That was followed by, how will your experience and qualifications inform your advice to CARB on how to implement the Community Air Protection Program? And finally, please share any relevant experience you have related to governance, such as decision-making, collaborative problem-solving, and constructive resolution of conflict. A second-level review was completed by senior management and included first-round scores for consideration and program priorities. The final-level review to evaluate and consider the overarching expertise and potential contribution of each applicant to the consultation group was conducted by CARB's executive officer.
Our purpose in expanding representation on the consultation group is to align with the ambitious goals in Blueprint 2.0 to both meet our commitments in the 19 formally selected communities while focusing attention and resources on the consistently nominated communities. As a reminder, consistently nominated communities are areas that have been repeatedly recommended for selection into the program by either AIR districts, community-based organizations, and community members. These nominations reflect an ongoing community interest and support and help identify priority areas for air quality improvements. As a result, the composition of the group includes consultation group chair, and shown in this table includes two members more than the group convened in 2018. Nine members representing environmental justice communities, community steering committees, and consistent nominated communities. Nine members representing six AIR districts, two local government agencies, and one tribal government. Four members representing business and industry, two members representing academia and community science. Two members representing bodies specifically named in statute, the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, and the Scientific Review Panel. The next three slides list the recommended primary and alternate members. While not required, applicants were given the opportunity to add alternates to their applications. Alternates would serve in place of a member who cannot attend a meeting or to replace a member who is unable to serve the full term. Alternates are associated with the applicant's community group, agency, or employer. First, Dr. Baum will continue to serve as the consultation group chair. All AIR districts that support community steering committees and consistently nominated communities are not represented. Health and Safety Code 44391.2 requires CARB to consult with local governmental bodies in the affected communities. Staff recommends members representing the Southern California Association of Governments and the San Diego Association of Governments. The consultation group will also include a tribal government representative. Beginning with the AIR districts, the following primary and alternate members are recommended: Belen Leon Lopez, an alternate Israel Hernandez; Arsenio Mataca, an alternate Philip Fine; Alberto Ayala, an alternate Janice Lam Snyder; Ryan Hayashi, an alternate Stephanie Ng; Dr. Anissa Heard Johnson, an alternate Walter Shin; and Domingo Vigil, and alternate Shalem Aburi Lopez. In the government category, we are recommending Prithivi Dior and alternate Scott Strelecki, Antoinette Meyer and alternate Kristen Uchil. And representing the Yurok tribe, our recommendation is Kevin McKernan. Staff focused on incorporating geographic diversity in the selection process. We are recommending applicants that represent environmental justice organizations, community steering committees, and consistently nominated communities from Northern, Central, and Southern California. All have experience in working in and with California's most impacted communities and expressed a strong desire to continue those efforts through the Community Air Protection Consultation Group. The following community representative are recommended: Baldwin Moy and alternate Nambo Ramirez; Kevin Hamilton, who previously served on the consultation group; Mary Elizabeth and Margot Pross; Yasmin Beltran; Mary Valdemar; Rodney Andrews; Ianad Burrell and alternate BK White; Bishop Chris Breaker; and Maximilian Rosa. The proposed consultation group slate also includes representation from California's diverse business entities. As required by statute, the consultation group will include representatives from the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment and the Scientific Review Panel. The group will also include two members representing academia and community science. In the business and industry category, the following primary and alternate representatives are recommended: Christine Zimmerman, who also served on the previous consultation group, and alternate Bob Brown. Dirk Piersma, Cassie Lupina, and alternate Mary Selecki, Tim Carmichael. The member recommended to represent the scientific review panel is Dr. David Lowe. And our recommendation for the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment is Paulo Torado Plazas. Lastly, our recommendations for academia and community science are Dr. Jonathan London and Dr. Rebecca Skinner. If approved by the board, staff will convene the newly appointed group in the late summer to onboard and orient members. The first task of the consultation group will be to review and refine the draft charter. When revised, CARB staff will bring the final charter to the board for a consent item for consideration and approval, as well as appoint alternate members as needed. The newly reinvigorated consultation group will be well suited to advise CARB on the implementation of Blueprint 2.0 and provide insight on engaging community steering committees and consistently nominated communities in support of the program's mission to improve air quality at the local scale in California's most overburdened communities. Staff recommends the board approve the slate of applicants recommended as either primary or alternate members of the Community Air Protection Consultation Group. I thank you for your time.
All right, thank you very much. We will now hear from the public who signed up to speak on this item, either by submitting a request to speak card or by raising their hand in Zoom. I will ask the board clerks to begin calling the commenters.
Thank you. We have one commenter in Zoom, phone number ending in *528. I have activated your mic. You may unmute and begin.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Do you hear me? Laura Rosenberg-Hyder, Friends Against Fracking. I hope AB617 communities and the residents living near rail yards would send the federal government their observations and ailments, and rail workers should talk about their illnesses so we can convince the federal government that they made a mistake by giving them the health study, the community near rail yards. That was from the previous comment. You didn't hear it. Thank you.
Thank you. And that concludes our commenters for this item.
Okay. We'll close on the item. Do you have any? Dr. Bonds.
Thank you, Chair Randolph. First of all, I want to thank the OCAP team, who I've worked with now for a lot of years. And I think they've really done a great job at supporting the consultation group and Blueprint 2.0. And now I look forward to the reinvigoration of the consultation group. You know, AB617 implementation is very important for the state of California. For the nation, especially right now, you know, we lead the nation in air pollution control efforts at the community level that involves the community at the table. And I think Blueprint 2.0 increase support for that involvement. And again, I'm very proud of OCAP for developing that community engagement between the CSCs and the districts. You know, it took many years of listening, but I think we have moved forward from what we've learned from that listening. And I think the slate that the OCAP team has put together is really excellent. And I look forward to working with that team. So thank you.
All right, thank you. Dr. Shaheen.
Thank you, Chair. Am I good?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I just wanted to commend the CARB staff for taking meaningful steps to ensure that this consultation group reflects the diversity and lived experience of our communities most impacted by air pollution. It's heartening to see the representation of the community steering committees, tribal governments, environmental justice, academics, advocates, and industry in your list. The level of transparency and outreach you applied during the application process, I thought was very impressive, including two extended deadlines and public posting of the draft charter. I think this is commendable and really shows a strong example of public engagement. And then I also really appreciated the inclusion of members, you know, from all of these diverse groups, which I think is essential to building trust and crafting strategies that are both equitable and implementable. We really want to hit those two points. And then finally, thank you for explicitly acknowledging the role of historic systemic inequities that have played a role in shaping current air quality burdens. I really appreciate the emphasis on that and recognize that this process is based on moral grounding and the context that this really does deserve. So I also wanted to acknowledge Dr. Balms and former board member Davina Hurt for all of their efforts, but just really wanted to commend you and thank you for this. It's uplifting to me. It's been a hard several months, and so this is something to celebrate, and your hard work is something I really wanted to show my appreciation of. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Locke Dawson?
Thank you. I just want to thank the staff for their efforts on this, but most of all, I just wanted to speak up for the South Coast Air Quality Management District member who's been put forward, Dr. Anissa Hurd Johnson. I cannot say enough good things about her. She's amazing. She will be an incredible asset to us. So thank you for snagging her. She will be a great addition. Thank you.
Thank you, Barb.
Board Member De La Torre.
Also want to thank the staff for putting this all together and having the consulting group there to run things by. I have one particular question or issue with this, and then just in general, I had something to say about 617. I had heard from a couple of people that maybe going to a shorter term would make it more attractive because it's a lot of work, and going to 2 years instead of four might be more attractive. Did you guys look at that possibility in terms of being able to recruit broader than getting people to do a four-year term?
Did we? My name is Del D. Reyes, and I'm the director of the Office of Community Air Protection. Thank you, Board Member De La Torre, for your support and the question. It was an issue we grappled with. There is in the draft charter a provision that, of course, members may resign at any time they need to, and that there's a process for reappointing. We are now almost 2 years into Blueprint 2, which gives us three more years under that policy. And we wanted to make sure there was continuity between the members and the effort to update, as we're required to do, the strategy after these next 3 years pass. So that was really the goal. But we created that outlet, obviously, as folks need to resign because of other issues. That certainly would be expected.
Okay, so potentially after this cycle, we could, I'm thinking on the recruiting side, obviously anybody can resign anytime, but on the recruiting side, I think it's a little less daunting to commit to 2 years. So just something to think about in the future.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. And then in terms of 617, You all have heard me say it many a time. I live in a 617 community. I represent in my day job four of the 19 617 communities. We are partnering. In fact, this afternoon, there's, I think South LA has a meeting. And my staff from my day job is presenting there about some things we're doing that augment 617. There's this fixation on 617 and the money that's there, and that's the only thing that can happen in 617 communities. What we need to do is identify all of the things that are extra that are being done by other entities, maybe by the Air District, maybe by other entities like the one I run, and take credit for it and focus those resources on these communities. People need to know these have been identified. And to the extent that there are other third parties floating around doing good work in these same areas, not because it's 617, just because it's the right thing to do in the right place, that we compile those things and bring them to the 617 committees and incorporate them in terms of our, and Chanel knows this because we've had this conversation, report it out as additional accomplishment in these areas that are mitigating and cleaning and empowering those communities. So I really think that's something that we haven't done. And unfortunately, because of the process we've created this perception that, oh, that we're the ones doing everything and that's all that can be counted. Well, no, there's other good stuff happening in these same communities and we should absorb them. We can't control them, but we can certainly account for them and absorb them into what we're doing. So that's my pitch. Thank you.
Thank you, Board Member De La Torre. Your advice is insightful and very on point, especially now. We actually are looking very much forward to focusing on the consistently nominated communities in that way. As you know, with those communities, they are not funded through the other sources of monies that we have for the 19. And we did commit in the blueprint to make a difference in those communities. And it will require leveraging with every single partner we can bring to the table.
Thank you. And to be clear, it's a nonprofit government agency. It's not a company. It's not for profit. The things that we're doing are completely tied to the cities in this region. So that's who we're doing it with and for.
I think one thing I'll just add, Chanel Fletcher, Deputy Executive Officer, that I think is really powerful about what you're sharing about the COGS are doing. It's also, I think, when you're looking at the we do in fact also have local government on the consultation group, and I think that was a new addition, and I think that is really going to help us to start leveraging exactly what you're talking about, right? Nathalie mentioned we're really thinking about those consistently nominated communities. We're thinking about things like land use, right? So I do think that we're really moving in the direction aligned with our conversations.
For example, the Strategic Growth Council, they've given grants in these communities, not because they're 617, just because they're the communities that need it. And so that, to me, you know, that we should be seeing what other agencies are doing as well in these communities and accounting for that. Thank you.
Board Member Takvorian.
Thank you, Chair. Is this working?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I just wanted to take a minute to also express my gratitude to OCAP and the team that has come forward and put this reinvigoration on the table, but especially to Dr. Baum for being the chair of the consultation group from day one. And I think this has been a difficult but very effective and program that has really lifted up not 617 communities, but environmental justice communities, which if I had any power up here, I would say we should quit calling them 617 communities because that's not what they are. They're environmental justice communities and have been since day one. So 617 doesn't mean anything to anyone who's outside of this little bubble. And thank goodness Dr. Baums knew that, and our former board member, Davina Hurt, knew that. And I think all of the members who have served deserve a big round of applause and gratitude as well. They came largely from the environmental justice movement and I think helped to guide the program and helped to make it really effective. So I support the recommendations that you're making here. And I just wanna say, I think this is a time that requires more community consultation, not less. So I think it's quite timely and really important that we move this forward now. And I look forward to extending the conversation that Board Member De La Torre started when we talk about the program review in July. I think there's a lot to talk about in terms of how we move forward and what the focus is and how we partner with others. It's a great conversation, and I look forward to having more of that next month. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? All right. So the board has before them resolution number 25-5. Do I have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
All right, board clerk, will you please call the roll?
Dr. Balms?
Yes.
Mr. De La Torre?
Yeah.
Mr. Eisenhut?
Yes.
Senator Flores? Mayor Gloria?
Yes.
Mayor Locke Dawson?
Aye.
Ms. Ortiz Legg?
Yes.
Mr. Rexhoffen?
Yes.
Dr. Shaheen?
Aye.
Ms. Takvorian?
Yes.
Chair Randolph?
Yes.
That motion passes.
All right, thank you. Okay, we will now move to open comment for those who wish to provide a comment regarding an item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board that is not on today's agenda. The clerk will call on those who have submitted a request to speak card. And if you are joining us remotely and wish to comment, please click the raise hand button or dial *9 now. Board clerk, will you please call the commenters?
Thank you. We currently have two in person and two over Zoom. We will start with in person, beginning with Greg Herner.
Good evening, board members. Greg Herner on behalf of Miller Industries, a tow truck manufacturer. You probably remember us from last year. I'm here to ask that the board keep its commitment to provide updates on the ACT and how trucks are moving in California or not. California remains the only state where we're unable to get trucks, dirty and new trucks, to replace the dirtier trucks and remove them from the road. We don't have a ZEV option. We continue to pursue that option, but we do not have one. This has nothing to do with the other issues going on with the federal stuff. This just has to do with our ability to replace older, dirtier trucks with the cleanest technology available. Part of what the board also suggested that they were going to do, and they said that the registrations were delayed, was to look at how many trucks are coming in from out of state and being registered and bypassing what we have to comply with, what our distributors and stuff in California have to comply with, and those expenses that old used trucks don't have to. It's a very low threshold of 7,500 miles, but you can also bring a 15-year-old truck into California to replace anything here. So we plan to have people at the July 24th hearing where the regulatory package will be taken up. Probably quite a few people because they're suffering still. And, you know, Senator Flores did a nice editorial about the ACF and the Fresno Bee, but you pull back the ACF, it's not having that cost impact on California like the ACT continues to do. So we'd love to work with you to try and find a solution here. Thank you.
Thank you. Will Breiger?
Good afternoon, Chair Randolph and board members. I am Will Breiger here for Climate Action California, 350 Sacramento, and my six grandchildren. I'm always happy to be here. It's my favorite room, honestly. This is the room where it happens, to borrow from my favorite musical. It's the room where it should happen. And what should happen? Livestock methane regulation. And I very much appreciate the board's resolution last fall to to do something in the next few years. Worldwide, methane reductions could make a difference in the 11 years before my oldest grandchild's eligible to play high school field sports in Omaha, Nebraska. I mean, it's borderline too hot there now. So I have 2 points. One is reducing methane is our best tool. According to the IEA and the Global Methane Pledge our governor signed. Secondly, livestock is California's by far largest source of methane. Designing regulations in this area will be challenging, to be sure. I am so happy that California and the board in particular has such talented people. I have confidence it can be done. I'm just asking to prioritize this task. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now move on to our commenters in Zoom. We currently have two, Kimberly Burr and Lisa McGee. Kimberly, I have activated your mic. You may unmute and begin.
Great. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm calling in from Sonoma County, and I'm a member of Forest Unlimited, and we basically have been trying really hard to save mature trees for over 20 years and also plant thousands of baby trees. But it's my understanding that CARB essentially considers forest biomass kind of a net zero or zero emission source. But forest biomass is not zero emissions. And it really does involve taking trees and putting them into a manufacturing process to be burned later. So it's a kind of a lose-lose. And we wanted to make sure you guys are aware of a recent development. The largest pellet manufacturer is called Golden State Natural Resources, just decided yesterday or maybe the day before yesterday that they are not going to be doing forest biomass pellet production for several reasons. In their own words, they basically said that they have to explore alternative approaches for implementing their project. And they're effectively ending their plans to build the controversial wood pellet facilities and export terminal. They got a lot of input from people, 50,000 comments, and the current biomass market conditions have been riddled with government turnaways for subsidies. And this is all just to say that burning trees and logging to for something that's not carbon neutral needs to be reevaluated, and I hope you guys do that. Also, basically looking at from the beginning of the process to the end, cutting down the trees, bringing people out in the woods with tractors, hauling all that stuff back to a factory, manufacturing that all, and then putting it on trains and boats and shipping it all over the world. So I hope you guys reevaluate that, and thank you for all your important work.
Thank you. Lisa McGee, I have activated your mic. You may unmute and begin.
I'm Lisa McGee. Tom's Truck Center is a commercial truck dealership in Los Angeles since 1949. As an HVIP dealer, we offer 5 medium heavy duty on-road zero emission vehicles, both EV and fuel cell. Became an HVIP dealer in 2012, submitting 762 vouchers to date and have redeemed 479. We operate 2 medium heavy duty BEV depot stations and are installing a fuel cell station at our Los Angeles dealership. HVIP has a new proposal for voucher changes. My comments today are specific to fuel cell, and I submitted public written comments to CARB's board regarding this matter. The industry stakeholders are blindsided as we were not included in the proposed changes. Specifically, fuel cell technology is not mature. It only has 2 OEMs listed in HVIP. It requires more units to penetrate the market, which the technology is best suited for heavy duty and drayage applications. However, it is dependent on incentives that will reduce the barriers of the investment cost. HVIP voucher facts: the fuel cell and EV vouchers to date amount to 9,812 vouchers. Fuel cell amounts to 913 of that, with 217 redeemed, or 2%. The HVIP OEM facts: there are between fuel cell and EV OEMs, we have 45 OEMs in HVIP. BEV have had 15 years in HVIP. Fuel cell has had 6 years in HVIP. There have been 5 fuel cell OEMs in history, and to date, we have 2 remaining, or 4% are fuel cell. The proposal reduces the base to 160,000 and removed all plus-up modifiers. The existing voucher is currently $240,000 with the technology modifier. We recommend a base of no less than $300,000. This is a very nascent technology with 2 OEMs, approximately 200 units in operation. We need more penetration to ensure its growth and affordability. And we appreciate all the work CARB does. Thank you very much.
That concludes our commenters for open comment.
Okay, the board will now break for closed session as authorized by Government Code Section 11126E and as indicated in the public notice for today's meeting. In approximately 45 minutes after closed session, the board will adjourn the meeting. Thank you. All right, the board has emerged from closed session. No reportable action was taken. And the June 26th meeting of the Air Resources Board is now adjourned. Thank you.
Recording stopped.